560 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News, the New Hampshire primary. I'm Richard Cantu. ABC News projected when all the votes are counted, Donald Trump will win New Hampshire's Republican presidential primary. Trump on the attack against Nikki Haley, even calling her an imposter.
He can shred the reputation of anyone he wants. The only person standing is Nikki Haley. So there's something to be said for that achievement alone. But yeah, if Nikki Haley wants to stick this out, she is going to have to buckle up for a brutal couple of weeks of campaigning at least.
ABC News political director Rick Klein. President Biden won the Democratic primary in New Hampshire as a write-in candidate.
Biden's whole political identity as president has been shaped around the reactions to Trump, and that team has been preparing. Even if it wasn't Trump as the nominee, they were going to square up against the MAGA agenda. As it is, they're probably going to get Trump.
Next up, South Carolina's Republican primary, where Nikki Haley used to be governor, February 24th. This is ABC News. The White House says the administration is actively engaged in negotiating another pause in the Israel-Hamas hostilities in a bid to win the release of more than 100 hostages. National Security Council spokesman John Kirby.
That would give us the opportunity to get hostages out and get more aid in. But we would absolutely support a humanitarian pause of a longer length than the week that we were able to accomplish. Absolutely, we would.
This guy apparently cannot help himself. The purported stalker busted twice near the home of Taylor Swift here in New York City.
The NYPD arresting a man after he was found behaving erratically and loitering Monday near singer Taylor Swift's New York City home in the Tribeca neighborhood. Witnesses, including Swift's security, flagging down police, pointing out an emotionally disturbed man harassing passersby. He's identified as 33-year-old David Crow of Seattle, and his arrest followed another incident Saturday where he was seen trying to open a door to Swift's townhouse and placed under arrest. Authorities say there have been multiple incidents at the residence in recent years.
ABC's Derek Dennis. I'm Richard Cantu, ABC News.
Her name is Pam Yonke, but you can just call the host of the Midwest Farm Report the Fabulous Farm Babe.
That's right, and the Fabulous Farm Babe is now part of the Civic Media team on your local station, WGBW 1590 AM 97.9 FM in Green Bay. Here's show host Todd Alba with the announcement.
She is a broadcast legend. Doesn't matter whether you're a farm person, ag person, a producer, or just a good old Wisconsinite or a Packer fan. Pam Yonke, welcome to Civic Media.
My pleasure, my pleasure. Yeah, lifelong Wisconsinite. I grew up on a small dairy farm in northeast Wisconsin, O'Connell County. Stop and think about the work being done 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to make sure that you and I are the best fed in the world.
Join the Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke on WGBW 1590 AM 97.9 FM in Green Bay.
Your Midwest Farm Report, weekdays from 5 until 6 a.m. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Republican state lawmakers voted to amend a bill to ban abortion after 14 weeks on Tuesday. The amendment allowed exceptions for rape and incest and requires doctors to make reasonable efforts to preserve the life of a fetus during a medical emergency. The bill got a public hearing on Monday where both Democrats and pro-life activists railed against the bill. Governor Evers has said that he would not sign the bill if it made it to his desk. President Biden will be back in town on Thursday. He plans to talk about his administration's efforts to rebuild the nation's infrastructure in Superior. Wisconsin and Minnesota are getting $1 billion to replace the Blatnik Bridge connecting Superior to Duluth, thanks to the bipartisan infrastructure bill. The president's visit comes after Vice President Kamala Harris visited the Waukesha area on Monday. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
The Bucks have fired their head coach. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks announcing today that 49-year-old Adrian Griffin is out as the team's head coach just 43 games into his first season in Milwaukee. Griffin hired last June to replace Mike Budenholzer. The announcement a surprise since the team has an overall record of 30-13, 3.5 games behind Boston at the top of the Eastern Conference. ESPN analyst and former player Kendrick Perkins.
The writing has been on the wall since the start of the season. Right. When you look at the Bucks defense, it has been horrible. And the fact of the matter is that Adrian Griffin never had a voice and never had the locker room from the start of training camp. And now we're seeing this happen, which is still surprising.
The Bucs rank in the bottom 10 for defensive play. The word is the team may be interested in 62-year-old Doc Rivers, a former Marquette player, as a replacement. Again, the Bucs firing their head coach today, Adrian Griffin, with Sports on Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Clouds and patchy fog in the overnight. Light winds and lows by sunrise will be in the lower 30s. On your Wednesday, the clouds and fog will stick around. We'll see a chance of some rain and highs warming up to the middle 30s in the late afternoon. Right now, it's 31.
Hey, this is Aaron from the Todd Allbaugh Show. Just letting you know that on Wednesday, the 24th, Todd will be back with us live in Wausau. So join us then from noon to 2.
Where the fans own the team. This is the talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair coming to you live from my kitchen. And Greg Buck and Sweet Kelsey on the board in beautiful downtown Waukesha. How are you doing this morning, guys? This is really strange.
I feel like we're getting a look into the world of Jane Matt Nair.
Yes, my kitchen such as it is. This is it. I chickened out for the first time in what I've been doing this for 43 years.
Yeah.
And when we were texting last night, Greg, and I said, my Subaru can get me through any kind of snow. It has never failed me, but yeah, ice always wins. And so I just was really hesitant about heading out on the roads today because of these icy conditions. And as I look at this, 511wi.gov, there are a whole bunch of accidents scattered around Milwaukee and Madison, even around Green Bay and Eau Claire. So you really want to be careful when you're out on the roads this morning. If you ever want to join us, 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. Or you can leave a comment on the live stream. Check out my kitchen on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. We have a very busy show coming up today. Dan Schaefer will be here at 10:30, as he usually is on Tuesdays, to recombobulate. And then at 11:50, Wine and Weather, Weather and Wine with our Civic Media meteorologist, Brittany Merlot. She'll join us at 11:50 for a little update on what is going on with the weather. But I wanted to start off with this, and Tammy brings it home again. I think this is good news.
Yeah.
After 2 years of supporting this, Tammy Baldwin delivered bipartisan infrastructure law funding to replace a vital bridge for Wisconsin's economy and safety. So Wisconsin and Minnesota getting more than $1.05 billion in order to replace the Blatnik Bridge, which connects Superior to Duluth. I've only been on that bridge once. My sister and I were in Bayfield a number of summers ago, and we decided to go to Duluth Superior. I'd never been there. That is one scary bridge.
I've traversed it a couple of times. I'm not a fan of bridges myself because, you know, they're almost always safe, but it's that almost where you're just like, this feels long and rickety.
Yes. And I mean, we were there at the end of August, beginning of September. I cannot imagine what people who live in Duluth and Superior, what they do in the wintertime. I would just stay on one side of the river.
I was just saying, they'd probably stay home.
Yeah, I would just stay there until spring. And I know that I'm not going to die on the Blatnik Bridge. So this is terrific news. I am so impressed by Tammy Baldwin bringing home things to actually, I don't know, directly benefit her constituents, which seems like a positive. And then President Biden will also be swinging by. He's going to be in Superior this coming Thursday to talk about his economic agenda and rebuilding infrastructure, lowering costs, spurring a small business boom and creating good paying jobs. We don't have exact details on when President Biden is going to be in Superior, but I'm sure that our news department will be covering that once we get more specifics.
Absolutely. And if you think about it, Vice President Harris, President Biden, I almost said President Obama, President Biden, and Tammy Baldwin bringing money home. I mean, this is a big week for Washington and Wisconsin. I mean, it's I feel like they're trying to tell us something. They're trying to do a little, you know, I mean, what Vice President Harris yesterday was talking about was an important message, but President Biden's doing what he needs to do is tell the state, the people, the country, we're on track. We're moving forward. We have been for a while.
Yes.
And this is just a piece of the puzzle.
Well, and now it's finally, I think people are finally starting to see in real time the effect these dollars are having in their own communities, including roads and replacing lead lines. And that's happening all over the city of Milwaukee. And I'm sure that's happening in other municipalities as well. And these are dollars from the infrastructure bill and numerous other, in many instances, bipartisan measures that the president was able to pass. Now, what's interesting about this, and I spent a little time on this last night after I saw that President Baldwin's office about bringing this money here, about all of the Republicans now who are so excited about getting this money.
Oh, boy.
And yet they never voted for any of these measures.
No. No.
Interesting how that happens.
And, this is something that seems to happen all the time. Every time the government says, hey, here's money, and here's money for, a infrastructure, they're like, we don't want it. And then behind the scenes, they're like, can I have, like, $50 million, please? Thank you very much.
Well, and it's even worse than that. It's like, nope, I voted against it. And then when they got the money, it's like, look what I did for us.
Yeah, I remember.
Look what I brought for you, my constituents.
I remember a certain former Wisconsin Speaker of the House who just could not stop complaining about the Recovery Act over and over all the time. And I worked in his district. And I'm like, you asked for $30 million.
Oh.
You know, those earmarks that you talked, they were so bad. They were so awful. Ooh, earmarks. They were like ghosts. But no, they're going to be on C-SPAN, they're going to be on the Sunday shows, they're going to be on whatever news network that aligns with their politics, and they're going to lambast all these things. But, you know, people don't pay attention to those votes. So when they see people and they're like, you know, yeah, can I have some of that money? No one knows that's happening. And all of a sudden they're coming home with $20, $30, $50 million for their home state, home district. And they're really excited about it.
They are real excited about it once they get it. And that's why I think it's important, I don't know, to just point out a couple of these examples.
What?
That I know that just kind of jumped out at me. For instance.
Not that we have a list.
I might have cribbed a couple of things together. So, for instance, Representative Pete Stauber, who is from Minnesota, put on Twitter, I am proud to announce that Duluth, Minnesota, and Superior, Wisconsin have received over $1 billion in federal funding to help replace the Blatnik Bridge. This is a huge win for Minnesota 8. I was proud to advocate for these funds. Now, that was shared by Minnesota Governor Tim Walz, who then said, oh boy, I hate to talk politics when there's good news to celebrate, but this is just too brazen to ignore. Mr. Stauber voted against every screw, steel beam, and concrete pier in this bridge. Luckily, POTUS worked with Stauber's colleagues and got it done without him. Thank you, Joe Biden.
it never stops. I'm sure they tell him day one, they're like, go ahead, vote against it. You're still going to get money if you ask. And you get the best of both worlds.
Yeah, and then you're going to be celebrating it and crowing about all the hard work you did for your constituents. Texas Representative Republican Kay Granger voted against the bipartisan infrastructure bill, said in 2021 it was a, quote, socialist plan full of crushing taxes and radical spending, unquote. When she got $400 million approved for flooding control in her district in Fort Worth, she said, quote, this is a great day for Fort Worth, unquote, without mentioning where the Corps of Engineers was getting the money. She did, however, thank the agency for its hard work and tireless commitment to make her community safer.
No thanks to Biden, not one bit. I don't know if we have an applause, anything. I'd like to give an applause break for Kay Granger, Representative Kay Granger. This was that quote, you hear me a golf clap in there, socialist plan full of crushing taxes and radical spending. I mean, you were just hitting every buzzword in that press release, scaring the bejeebers out of your constituents, crushing taxes and socialism because we want to help make your bridges safer.
Safer. If you're just joining us, we are talking about building bridges. Tammy Baldwin announcing this week that she has helped secure $1 billion to improve the Blatnik Bridge, which connects Superior and Duluth, Minnesota. Scary bridge. I really applaud you people who have to drive over that bridge every day. If you want to join us, 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. You can also leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. In Louisiana, Representative Steve Scalise highlighted $400 million in initiatives made possible by the law to mitigate flooding. Representative Clay Hittigan's district got $190 million for waterway improvements, but he said he's against, quote, the infrastructure bill in its totality based on unwavering principle.
Okay.
I know. And then he said, but there are certain elements in the bill that my office does support. Oh, okay.
Well, yeah.
A spokesman for Scalise said he's long promoted funding for projects, but it's, quote, unfortunate Democrats decided to play politics with infrastructure and instead loaded their bill with unrelated liberal agenda items.
Like socialism and crushing taxes.
What does that mean? Loading the bill with liberal? Is that, I mean, all the construction crews on this bridge now have to do a YMCA break when they take lunch?
They're all, communist workers.
What's involved with all of this, you know, liberal agenda items squished into these bills? I'm not seeing them.
Yeah. And I would like, actually, you know, before we have to answer it, I feel like they should answer it. When they make the claim, they should answer what they're talking about. Cause it's just, as long as it's coming from the other side, it's awful.
Well, we can't give the other side a win.
No, never, never. Whether it's state or federal or local, it's always nope, nope, nope. And as soon as it goes through, money, please.
And look what I did for you.
America.
Because I care about you.
Jane, I know you care about, I know you care about me.
I do care about you and Calvin. 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Join us. Matt Nair on air, coming to you live. I don't have to push these buttons now. It's so weird. On the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is the talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
The For the Love of Democracy Tour 2024 continues. Crudy lands in Las Vegas for the Nevada presidential primary, a competing GOP caucus, and all the build-up to Super Bowl 58. Tune in for special events broadcast live from the Vegas Strip. From Nevada primary Tuesday, February 6th through Super Bowl Friday, Crudy brings on the ground coverage from a swing state that helped Joe Biden win the presidency.
Viva Las Vegas! Viva. Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Thank you so very much for joining us. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Mach, and Calvin B on the board. You can always join us at 844-967-2789. 844-96-PARTY. Leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. Coming up in just a little bit, Dan Schaefer will be here at 10:33. We will recombobulate. I have a feeling we're going to be talking about fair maps and much, much more. Also next hour, Greg, we're going to talk about the Oscars. The Oscar nominations came out this morning, and there are some pretty big snubs, at least in one of the acting categories that we will be kicking around.
I know Twitter is not a great place to be, but it is going. There are going to be a lot of upset people today.
It's going to get ugly.
Yeah,
it's going to get ugly. Right now, we're talking about building bridges, and the good news is that thanks to the Biden infrastructure plan, there is $1 billion that's going to a bridge project linking Duluth and Superior, Wisconsin. The Blatnik Bridge has been in need of improvements for a number of years. So Tammy Baldwin touting that this economic funding is coming this way. It's been something that she's been advocating for the last couple of years, and now it has finally happened. I would especially love to hear from you if you live in Superior and you go over that bridge, what your experiences have been on the Blatnik Bridge. I've only crossed it a couple of times. I thought it was terrifying. Maybe it's my age. That stuff didn't ever used to bother me, but I found that one particularly intimidating. But it led us to talking about how, depending upon which political party you belong to, when things like this get passed, it's all bad if the other side is doing it. It's bad, 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 full of socialist things, and it's tax crushing and all this until the money actually comes to their district. And then everybody's like, look what I did for you.
Yeah.
Even though I voted against this for you.
Yeah. And we got a text from 541. Andrew from Maine said, since when did the American people become, quote, the other side? That's
a really good point, Andrew.
Because, yes. When those politicians are voting against each other and not letting them get wins, they're not letting the people get wins. And ultimately, we're the ones who vote for you. We're the ones you work for. And when you play these games between each other, we're the prize. And that doesn't feel good.
Yeah, I sometimes feel like they look at us like the booby prize.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. We're as long as we're looking at our phones and eating our fast food, they're not paying attention.
They're not paying attention, exactly. Well, we kind of pay a little attention. I was just looking for some quotes that might fit in to this narrative. Representative Ashley Hinson from Iowa on January 19th posted, breaking, we secured $829 million in federal funding to upgrade locks and dams along the Upper Mississippi River. This is a game changer for Iowa's ag industry and our Mississippi River communities. Ruh-roh.
But
California Democratic Representative Eric Swalwell says, come on, tell the truth, Ashley Hinson. You didn't vote for this bill. You voted for a dam collapse. If you had your way, your neighbors would be underwater. Thankfully, House Democrats passed the bill, and we did your job. Give me a break.
We did your damn job. He used damn twice. Eric Swalwell, just write movies that write for a TV show. I don't know, but you, I adore that man so much.
But this also goes back to, Greg, what we've talked about before, which are the issues at the southern border. Mm-hmm. And I think we all agree there are problems at the southern border.
Yes.
And yet there is this reluctance to do anything about it. And Republican Chip Roy from Texas said it out loud. He said, I am not going to do anything that is going to give the Biden administration a win.
Even though the
Biden just said it out loud.
Even though the Biden administration is giving them, I think, $12 or $13 billion to help secure the borders. Like, no, it's we don't want that. Not from you. Not from you.
Not from
and,
you.
And also what you just said, very true, is this isn't just a border issue. This is an immigration issue which needs to be solved at every end of the country from top to bottom, left to right. Meaning we have to not just look at our borders, we have to look at our courts, we have to look at our processes, we have to look at our applications, the paperwork, everything to make it not easier, not easy, a little simpler. So that way people aren't languishing, waiting for their court date that could be 2, 3, 4, 5 years away.
It shouldn't take 7 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
It shouldn't take 7 years.
Yeah.
And if we want things to work more smoothly and more efficiently, it's going to take, as you said, Greg, it's going to take more agents.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to take more courts. It's going to take more courtroom workers to help process these things.
Yes.
And help speed up this process. And whether or not this is valid or not, I don't know. But someone did say on Twitter this morning, maybe we have such a crush at the border because every time Republicans are on camera, they say the border's open.
Well, yeah, because that's the easiest. It's like what we were saying before, like crushing taxes, socialist agendas. You say the borders are weak or there are no borders. It whips people up in a frenzy and it gets them some shares of that 24-hour news market. And then they get to go back to their office and not do anything of substance.
It's a good gig if you can get it.
Yeah.
844-967-2789, 844-967-2789, if you would like to join us. I know that Earl Ingram is going to be having Senator Ron Johnson on his show on Friday, and there's a lot of interest about that. And I also believe that the senator has agreed to take questions. I believe they might be submitted in written form, but that's certainly something. If you want to talk about who is doing things for their Wisconsin constituents that are actually tangible, I think this is a good opportunity.
Yeah,
to ask him what he's done.
I would
like to know what the senator believes he has accomplished for his Wisconsin constituents.
Participate in the process. He'll be here or will be taking care of it. I think it'll be an interesting interview. And
absolutely.
Get yourself ready because this is a big deal. This is a big deal to have someone of his stature in the room. And I hope it's a great sit down. I hope it's a great chat.
Oh, I think it will be. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Earl does an incredible job.
Yeah.
And it will be very, very interesting. So make sure you plot out some time for Friday. If you can't listen live, that's not a problem. You can always download the app. You can listen to the podcast and check, listen that way a little bit later on. So it's going to be a wonderful, wonderful program that is going to be this coming Friday from 8 to 10 a.m. Senator Ron Johnson live with us in studio in downtown Waukesha. Okay, stay close. When we return, Dan Schaefer will be here. We will recombobulate.
Yeah.
You're listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network. From your point of view, gotta build a bridge right over the mountain, gotta build it right over the sea, gonna build a bridge right over the ocean, so you can walk right over to me.
Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
This is a special report from ABC News, the New Hampshire primary. I'm Richard Cantu. ABC News projected when all the votes are counted, Donald Trump will win New Hampshire's Republican presidential primary. Trump on the attack against Nikki Haley, even calling her an imposter.
He can shred the reputation of anyone he wants. The only person standing is Nikki Haley. So there's something to be said for that achievement alone. But yeah, if Nikki Haley wants to stick this out, she's going to have to buckle up for a brutal couple of weeks of campaigning at least.
ABC News political director Rick Klein. President Biden won the Democratic primary in New Hampshire as a write-in candidate.
Biden's whole political identity as president has been shaped around the reactions to Trump, and that team has been preparing. Even if it wasn't Trump as the nominee, they were going to square up against the MAGA agenda. As it is, they're probably going to get Trump.
Next up, South Carolina's Republican primary, where Nikki Haley used to be governor, February 24th. This is ABC News.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Governor Tony Evers delivered his State of the State address Tuesday night. He said that in order to address the state's workforce challenges, the legislature needs to address the child care crisis in Wisconsin. He has repeatedly called on Republicans to invest state dollars into child care providers across the state. Without it, he said that over 2,100 child care centers across the state may soon close. A new study says more people graduated from college between 2010 and 2020 and increased their earnings by $14 trillion. People are doing better across society, but some racial groups still lag.
What we have here is a race in which everybody is running faster, but no group is really changing their position in the race.
Tony Carnival heads the Georgetown University Center that did the study. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Clouds and patchy fog in the overnight. Light winds and lows by sunrise will be in the lower 30s. On your Wednesday, the clouds and fog will stick around. We'll see a chance of some rain and highs warming up to the middle 30s. In the late afternoon. Right now, it's 31.
Earl Ingram.
Sandy, people are talking about influencers. I don't see too many septuagenarians or octogenarian influencers. There are a lot.
We're trying. Radio shows like this are efforts to be influencers, I suppose.
Yeah.
I
mean, we can possibly be influencers.
Well, maybe. I don't know.
Calvin's laughing.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Tune into The Empowered Caregiver with me, Liza Hellenbrand, every Wednesday evening at 7.
On The Talk of Green Bay, 97.9 FM and 1590 AM, WGBW.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Even Republicans know what they don't like, Vivek.
As of this moment, we are going to suspend this presidential campaign.
Oh, this is like the Captain Kirk of goodbye speeches. I must leave the race
there
now.
Is no path to victory.
There is no path for
the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
From I-43 to I-41. This is the Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM, WGBW.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hey,
morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenoff on the board. And we are joined, as we are every Tuesday at this time, time to recombobulate with the award-winning Dan Schaefer. Good morning, Dan. How are you doing?
Good morning, everyone. Happy to be here.
Glad to have you along. A little weird. I'm working from home today. I didn't want to go out with the ice. And I would just check that 511wi.gov map to see what accidents are going around. Much better than it was about an hour ago, but still some accidents in Green Bay, in Madison, a couple in Milwaukee. Dan, is it particularly icy down where you are on the east side?
Yeah, I just had to drive downtown and back, and it's a little slippery out. It's not so great. So plan ahead. And it's, you know, it's also the situation where we have a lot of drivers acting like it's their first time driving in rain or inclement weather. So plan for that as well.
I got a truck. It's got four wheels. I'm going crazy.
Yes, and yet the laws of physics apply to everyone equally. So just keep that in mind as you're skidding down the roadway. And I heard, too, that even in downtown Milwaukee, there's some pretty icy sidewalks and stuff. So folks need to be careful.
Yep.
Brittany Merlot, our civic media meteorologist, is going to join us with a weather update at 11:50 for a little weather and wine. So stick around for that. We'll see what's going to be coming up next if we have more rain and or snow and whatnot. Right now, though, whatnot. We're talking fair maps, Dan. You just posted a new piece. You took another look at the 7 maps that were submitted. Is that correct?
Actually, it's 6 now, but
6.
The 6 maps that were submitted, that one of the maps was it kind of flew under the radar last week, but was rejected by the Wisconsin Supreme Court because they were not a party to the case in the map. So the map that was drawn by a UWM professor who used a algorithm he called FastMap, that is no longer one of the 7. So
okay.
I looked at the 6 active options, and the of those 6, the vast majority of them would significantly increase the number of closely contested competitive elections. So I think, you know, one of the things that that I found through, you know, previewing every race on the map at the recombobulation area in the last couple of election cycles the way I did, was that, you know, the gerrymander, obviously, for one thing, it gave Republicans huge, you know, impenetrable advantages in their majority in the Wisconsin state legislature. It also significantly reduced the number of competitive elections. You know, they drew a lot of deep red districts and a lot of deep blue districts, and not a whole lot in between. In the 2022 election, only 8 of 99 assembly races were decided by less than 10%. So it just has not been that all that competitive. There's you know, just a few races here and there in some of the swingier parts of the state that were particularly competitive. But one of the things that these new map submissions would do is significantly increase the number of elections that would project to have a margin of less than 5%. You know, between 5 and 10%, and between 10 and 15%. So I really took a deep dive, broke that all down. New column up today. You can take a look at all of that at the recombobulation area.
I'm curious, Dan, what are considered the swingiest part of the state?
Yeah, I think, you know, in the past few election cycles, there's been some races in La Crosse County. There have been races in the Fox Valley. And there have been races in the Milwaukee suburbs and in the far northwest corner of the state in the Superior area. So I think those have been you know, really stood out as, you know, really some of the only closely contested races in the assembly in the last election cycle. But, you know, the legislative Republicans, when they submitted their new map, it's basically the same map as they had used before. And they're under their map, it would project to have only 6 races with a margin of less than 5%, 7 races between 5 and 10%, and just 9 between 10 and 15%, 24 total competitive districts using the formula that I used to analyze this. That is far fewer than the number that we might see for other ones. Even the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty, right-wing organization, they kind of did the assignment the way legislative Republicans didn't. They would have 15 races that would project to be under 5% margin, and that there are some others that are like that as well. So there could be dozens of competitive races in the Wisconsin state legislature when last year that number was in the single digits. And I think that would be a really, really good thing for Wisconsin, because I think competition can bring out our best. Mm. You know, when we have a level playing field, competition can bring out our best. We could have candidates actually speaking to the majority of Wisconsinites and not just speaking to the fringes to fend off a primary challenge. You know, speaking to, I don't know, Medicaid expansion, marijuana legalization, gun safety, abortion rights, all these different issues that that have had majority support in Wisconsin and have gone and ignored under Republican control. I think having more competitive elections will create an environment where hopefully you have candidates moving to the middle a little bit, trying to win over some more of those swing voters. So I think, you know, having more competition in the state legislature would be a really, really good thing, and would be a big reversal from how things have been going in there for so many years.
Well, and again, I go back to the election of Justice Janet Protasiewicz and the overwhelming victory she had. And I firmly believe from the bottom of my heart that Wisconsinites don't want it rigged one way or the other. We don't respect cheaters. We don't like people who cheat, and we want to have a fair fight. And as we've talked about too, Dan, it's that much easier to have the outliers on the fringes be successful in these heavily gerrymandered districts when the moderate candidate can't get any traction. So I agree with you. This is going to be good for all of us. And it's not like it's going to set up a whole slew of Democratic wins all across the board and Democrats are going to take control and get a supermajority. None of these maps are going to make that plausible, are they?
No, and I think all of the submissions here, and you know, we don't know exactly what might be selected or what might be taken from each of these or what the court-appointed consultants might ultimately do when they issue an opinion next week on February 1st. But I think no matter what happens, we're headed in a direction where we're going to have more competitive elections. It was, you know, you really look at what the Republican maps that they submitted, it's just there's one clear outlier here, and it is the map from legislative Republicans. And, you know, I gave you the numbers from the assembly. In the Senate, legislative Republicans had four races with less than a 5% margin, zero in the 5 to 10%. That number's in the double digits for just about every other map for less than 10% margin in the state Senate. And that's a third of the state Senate that will have, you know, much more competitive elections than what we've seen. So there's really one clear outlier. Republicans just kind of didn't do the assignment. Yeah. The court said you need to, you know, consider partisan impact. You need to get rid of the least change. Nope, Republicans just didn't do the assignment, hoping that they'll somehow get bailed out of this process and they'll be able to keep their ridiculous entrenched majorities, which would be awful. And we need change. And like you said, the people of Wisconsin spoke loud and clear in the spring election last year by electing Janet Protasiewicz by a double digit margin to have real change for issues like this in Wisconsin.
If you're just joining us, we are recombobulating with Dan Schaefer, as we do every Tuesday from this time. And we're at this time, and we're talking about the submission now of the six maps that are under consideration. So what is the next step then, Dan? What happens next Wednesday or February 1st?
Yeah, well, I believe the parties involved in the case filed a brief, you know, just kind of responding to the map submissions from a week or so ago. Yesterday. And then there are two court appointed consultants that are kind of going to be overseeing this process. They will issue a report of sorts on these maps next week on February 1st. And either they will, you know, they might adopt, you know, one of these map submissions. They could potentially use, you know, parts of the best parts of some of these and cobble together their own map. They might just redraw their own map as well, if what they feel in the submissions did not meet the criteria set forth by the Wisconsin Supreme Court in their ruling late last year. So could go a lot of different directions, and you know, depending on what happens in the Wisconsin state legislature as well, there could be some additional factors to consider too.
Well, it's interesting that you say that, because I emailed you last night when I saw something that I believe it was Scott Ross from the Associated Press posted on Twitter about what could be some potential shenanigans. I find it so hard to believe that our elected officials would ever engage in shenanigans.
Yeah. Robin Voss and the Wisconsin State Legislature engaging in last-minute shenanigans doing it on the day of the governor's State of the State speech.
Oh, stop it.
You know, I couldn't put it past these guys. They're always always on the up and up. No. Yeah, J.R. Ross from Wisconsin Politics reported last night that the state Senate plans to convene today to take up an assembly bill implementing what some are referring to as an Iowa-style redistricting process, as I've written at the recombobulation area. The Iowa-style redistricting process. It cuts the Supreme Court oversight out of the process and gives the legislature final approval if there's an impasse. So, you know, it's a plan with a whole lot of trapdoors, and you know who likes to exploit trapdoors is Assembly Speaker Robin Voss. So I don't think this plan should be taken seriously by Democrats or independent voters in the state. But I think, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what they do, because they have a plan, a session scheduled for 3 p.m. today. You know, the State of the State speech is obviously happening this evening. I don't want to do like the Brian Windhorst meme. Just stay aware of what's happening in the Wisconsin State Legislature today. Could be shenanigans afoot.
Deep cut there, Dan.
Well, and I can't find the quote now from Robin Voss, but essentially he says, I don't want this to stay in the court. You know, he really wants the legislature to be the ones to draw these maps, because otherwise there can be all kinds of legal challenges. And he doesn't want to waste the taxpayers' money, you guys.
He's worried about court shenanigans.
He is so fiscally responsible when it comes to our taxpayer dollars. I just feel warm all over, because I know Robin is being such a good steward of our dollars.
I mean, yeah, we got the examples of that conservatism fiscally there, Jane, with some ideas on how he likes to not spend our money on trips and, you know,
pointless election investigations to the tune of $2 million until the point where you didn't get any of the answers that you were hoping you were going to get. And then the guy you hired sided with the woman you don't like, and then you fired him. And but he's concerned about his constituents' money, you guys.
Good man, Robin Voss.
We can go to sleep knowing that.
Yeah. If you want to know more about Robin Voss's fiscal responsibility, just Google Michael Gableman cost.
You really should, because I don't think I'm wrong in remembering it this way, but when Michael Gableman submitted some of his expenses, they were all on like scraps of paper. It wasn't even on a spreadsheet. It was just like, you know, snacks.
Come on, Jane. He doesn't have time for spreadsheets.
Handwritten on scraps of... I'm remembering that right, aren't I, Dan?
You are. Yeah. Yeah. It was ridiculous. But here we are, you know, talking fiscal responsibility.
All right.
But yeah, I would be, you know, just pay attention to what's happening with that. I don't have enough information to share anything with you on air right now, but I would pay attention to that 3 p.m. session today.
It's going to be a lot of fun. Always lots of things going on in Wisconsin. Stay with us. We will continue recombobulating with Dan Schaefer. You are listening to Matt Mayer on Air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected to your local community. Here's Terry Barr with the Civic Media Radio Network.
We live yesterday while supporting the future of cancer research for kids. It's American English, described as one of the best Beatles tributes around, and highlighting the Midwest athletes against childhood cancer, or the MAC Fund, during an important show in Northeast Wisconsin.
Research or money locally in Wisconsin to help try to find a cure.
Greg Thompson is the organizer and tells Mino and the mayor why it's so important.
A couple of kids that got up there that had been affected by cancer. When you experience that and listen to that and see what they go through, it hit me, you know, right in the heart.
Save the date, February 9th at Waverly Beach in Menasha. Find more at macfund.org, maccfund.org. Until next time, I'm Terry Barr.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. So happy to have you along. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvin on the board, and we are joined as we are every Tuesday at this time. Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area. If you have a question for Dan or you want to make a comment, 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. Or leave a message on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. Talking with Dan, who just published a new column on the Recombobulation Area about the six maps that are now being considered. And the due date is February 1st. What happens after that?
Well, after that, it's going to be a mad dash to try and get to get maps approved in some fashion by March 15th. March 15th is the date that the Wisconsin Elections Commission needs to have new maps in place so that the candidates who would be running in these races can start, you know, filing their, getting their signatures and getting their nomination papers in and all of that. So that's kind of where things are on the timeline, at least. I think, you know, there's a little bit murky as to what exactly is gonna happen once these consultants, you know, issue their report or you know, draw their own maps or whatever it might be. But the between now and March 15th is when hopefully this all will be happening. Hopefully we will have new maps in place for the 2024 election. And right now everything is on track for that to be the case.
So you really think this can happen? You do?
I do. Yeah. I think the most likely outcome is that we do get new maps. I think there are possibilities that, that it doesn't. I think those are slim. I think the challenge that that the petitioners crafted, making this specifically a challenge to the state constitution, which is what the U.S. Supreme Court essentially asked state courts to do, or state people at the state level to do, instead of bringing redistricting cases to federal court. And, you know, everything I'm hearing right now is that we're on track to have new maps by the 2024 election.
Well, I think that would make a lot of people really happy. And I think a lot of people after the next election will also be surprised, because certainly those who are against new maps are predicting that this is all going to, you know, go against them in the end. And I don't think that's going to be the case. I just think, like most people, and like you have said too, Dan, this is about creating more competitive districts instead of just locking things up for people so they can stay in office for decade after decade after decade. 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Andrew from Maine, if the race becomes more competitive, does that indicate an increase in annoying political ads for even longer?
Wow, Andrew, way to ruin a good time.
Well, I think we all get tired of the constant bombardment of negative ads.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, it's just at the end. I mean, I remember, I think it was last year, it was Mandela versus Ron Johnson. I saw 9 Mandela ads in 4 minutes. They were just piling on top of each other, just over. So at one point you're like, I'm just going to read books. I can't do this.
Well, and at that point, those messages just don't cut through anymore. So yeah. I'm not quite sure what their ad buyers are doing when they do that. I think people just tune out. We get exhausted by it.
Well, and in races like this, you know, state legislative races, it's one thing for, like, you know, to be blanketing the airwaves for a statewide race for Senate or governor or president or whatever. A lot of these state legislative races rely so significantly on the ground game about direct contact with voters, about knocking doors, making calls, and really organizing and talking to people. And I think, you know, I think that's such an important factor in this too. You're going to get some annoying mailers. You might see a couple annoying ads, but I think, you know, the more competitive that these elections could become could bring out a better environment. We've seen over and over again, you know, how certain policies that have majority support go rejected or obstructed or just disregarded entirely by the Republican majority. And, you know, Robin Voss has repeatedly said he's attributed his party's strong performance in legislative elections to the caliber of candidates running in those races. But I think you and he says it's, you know, it's not because of the gerrymandered maps. It's because we have fewer candidates. We run on better issues, whatever it might be. I think this will be a pretty interesting test of that theory. Yeah. If we have more competitive elections and not a, you know, races, maps drawn to just eliminate competition in so many ways, like he has done in as the leader of the Republican legislature.
And very successfully. 844-967-2789. Paul from Kenosha is joining us. Thank you so much for joining us, Paul. What did you want to say?
Hello.
Good morning.
Hey, Paul.
I think it's really underappreciated how much good fairer maps really are, because regardless of which party is doing the gerrymandering, it actually drives representatives from both parties to be more and more extreme. The Yes. more Republicans gerrymander, you get more extreme Democrats, and the more Democrats gerrymander, you get more extreme Republicans. So the fairer the maps are, you'll get more moderate candidates and candidates that are more reflective of the population.
You're absolutely right, Paul. You're absolutely right. Thank you so much for calling and thank you so much for listening. Again, I think that's, we don't want it locked up for one side or the other. We just want it to be fair. And in making it more fair and more equitable, that will encourage more people who might actually genuinely have an interest in doing something for their constituents to take a shot.
We froze on Jane right there, but I think what the point was is more people have the opportunity to run for office. And that's something we talked about last week as well, is like, with these new maps, the amount of people who will be empowered to run for various offices will be very cool to see.
And I think this if we do get these new maps, this projects to be the most competitive state legislative election we've had in Wisconsin in a generation. And I think that's going to be really interesting to see who jumps into the race, you know, where people are going to be allocating some of those resources. Hopefully, I know there's a lot of national big money out there going towards the president. I think it would be great if some of those donors really invest in what's happening in the Assembly and Senate too, because there's going to be a lot more competition than we've ever seen before.
Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation area, thank you so much for joining us. As always, we love having you here. And if you are listening to this show right now, go to the Recombobulation area, subscribe to the Recombobulation area, and be a part of the fun, because it is a very, very interesting read. Dan Schaefer, thank you so much for being here. We will be right back. Matt and Air on Air, you are listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
From the home of the frozen tundra, Green Bay's choice for news talk, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. Looking at issues through a politically purple lens. The Rational Revolution with Chris Elfheim, Thursday nights at 7 on the Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM, WGBW.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from